you. Love from Andy, of course, as well. Sorry, he's not here. I want to start off with something. I've changed it. I want to start off with something because it followed on. My whole talk follows on from you. Yeah. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. God has put eternity in their hearts. I know he's put eternity in your heart, but sometimes it's amazing what God does in other cultures. He can do anything, as we sang this morning. And we know that over in Thailand, he has put eternity in their hearts. So, being Thai is being a Buddhist. It's just woven into their life all the way through. Their royalty have to be Buddhist. And all the ceremonies they do throughout the year are all Buddhist ceremonies. So the royalty have to organize these Buddhist ceremonies. And the Thais are very nationalistic. So, well, why shouldn't they? Thailand is the best country to them. It's Thailand that's the country in the world. So you can understand that Buddhism is very important. Being Thai is being Buddhist. So how do you get them out of that to know the Lord? It's hard for them to leave all that and come through to the Lord. It's a hard step to take. Some do take it, but it's so few. So we still need help in that area to get the ties, the actual real ties, through to knowing the Lord. Their God history is interesting. People wandered over there, the missionaries from Portugal mainly. And they didn't stay there long because they were either persecuted and killed or died of disease. And then a few more brave souls would try and take over from them and proclaim the gospel again. No converts. Buddhists wouldn't change. And yet they kept on coming, but they kept dying. Very sad. And then in about 1830s, European Protestant missionaries went out there and later it was from America as well. And in about 1835, they did a Thai printing press. That's with the Thai letters, those funny letters that they have. They managed to print in Thai. That was a step forward, because before this, anybody who translated the Bible into Thai had to write it by hand. You can imagine how hard that was. But from now on, they could print bits of the Bible. And then, of course, they got the whole Bible printed eventually. But you've guessed, still no converts. Maybe a handful, but no converts at all. What a hard job. But where I come from up in Thailand is the Lhana states up north, Chiang Rai, Chiang Mai. And they've only really been part of Thailand since 1939. I better not say how many years before I was born, give it away, won't it? But isn't that amazing that it's only been part of Thailand since then? Before that, it was Burmese. So let me tell you a little bit about the Burmese history. Judson went over to Burma in 1817. How many years ago? 200 years ago, that's all. And he set down in Rangoon, and most people were against him, but he was a good man. He managed to get into the situation in where he was, and he lived with the people. He was good with the people. He knew a little bit about healing herbs, and he helped people where he could, and they didn't kill him. Amazing, they didn't kill him. And so soon he found out how to speak Burmese, how to write Burmese. He translated the Bible into Burmese. He was an intelligent guy, but his life was tough. His wife was there with him, and they had quite a few children, but all of them died one by one from the terrible conditions. And lastly, his wife. And so, do you know, it must have been so hard for those first missionaries. But one day, a Karen man, a tribal man from the Karen tribe, came and visited him because he wanted a place to live and a job. So there he was, knocking on the door. And Judson came and he let him in. He was a drunkard and that, but he still let him in. Gave him a place, a room to sleep, and had him working for him. Well, this man didn't really know much about Burmese, but after a while, he realized what Judson was doing. He was talking about God. Well, in Burma, they still are Buddhists, and they only have idols. They don't believe in one God. But the Karen tribe believed already in one God who created them and created everything. And slowly he realized that Judson was teaching about the one God. He was blown away. Kota Bayu is his name. And he started to tell Judson about their prophecies from the past. And he started to sing to Judson the Creator God songs that their tribe had passed down from generation to generation to generation, hundreds, maybe thousands of years. Where it came from? Well, I don't know, and I don't think they did. And Judson realized these people have a faith that the Burmese do not have. So he told him about Jesus, you see, and explained a bit more. And he became the first Karen Christian. But Judson was old by now. He'd done his bit. And George and Sarah Boardman came out, young missionaries, keen to get going, you know. Bible already translated, so they wanted to go out and preach in the marketplace in a city called Tavoy, which is a bit further away. And Kota Bayu said, oh, can I come too? So he did. Eventually off they went anyway to preach the gospel. Now, Kota Bayu, while Boardman was preaching, went up into the mountains. And he told everyone, come down. You must see our white brother has come. And he has the big white book with him. Now, that was unheard of. They'd had this prophecy hundreds of years before. And they'd been waiting and waiting to hear about the one Creator God. Who put that in their hearts? Well, we know it must have been God that put that in their hearts, that gave them this prophecy that they would not let go. So you can imagine all these Karen people, are you sure? They knew he was a murderer. They knew he was a drunkard. Shall we believe him? But there's only one way to find out, isn't there? So they all came down to Tavoy and listened. They didn't have to listen long before they realized God had indeed sent their white brother to tell them the gospel of Jesus about God and his son, and they gave their lives to God. Thousands were converted in that few weeks. And then, of course, you don't know the terrain of that area, but it's hard. To get up these mountains and round into all these villages, it's hard. So it took quite a while, quite a few years, before they managed to get around that area. And then what happened, this was further into Burma, you see, and then what happened? the Karen knew enough about the gospel to take it over into the Lana states where we are and told their fellow brethren about the Saviour, Jesus. And there were many tears, many shouts of joy that they knew what God had done for them. And they're amazing missionaries. The Karen tribe are amazing. We've got, I think, some pictures going up. I thought the first one was up there, but never mind. Kota Bayou didn't last long, unfortunately. He gave himself for the gospel. He got burnt out. He just wouldn't stay still. But he managed to train up the other Karen men so that they were the ones that went to continue the gospel. It was such an amazing thing that they'd waited for so long. I went off to a Karen village further away. There was a young convert in Bandu, a boy named Samat, and he wanted us to go up into the village, so we did. It took us hours, maybe 10 hours, to get up into his village. And they knew of the one God. They sang me the songs, and we told them about the Lord Jesus. And then one of the ladies came. Are we in trouble here? One of the ladies came and said, every child I've had has died at birth. Can Jesus save this next one that I'm carrying? What would you say? Yes. And we had to be firm about this, and we were praying. And we said yes, and we prayed for her and her husband. And she did have a healthy baby boy and must be about 2 years old now. So, yeah, that was brilliant. So, yeah, can we cut it? Sorry, the photos don't seem to be coming. Oh, I've hidden it away again.
Thank you, I'll get them.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to show you the picture of these lovely ladies in the village now, and you know, they're just such lovely people. Anyway, we'll continue while he's getting that up. Actually, it was in that village that we realized that God had indeed put eternity in the hearts of men, and you realize it's nothing to do with you. God's got it all organized already. We were just a little late, not we personally, but Christians, a little late getting there. Don't you think we should have got there earlier? There is need for mission. There is so much more need. If anybody feels like going to mission, you are so needed. I know it's in this country as well, but they've never heard over there, never had the opportunity of hearing. There was one young man, William Marcus Young, in about 1900 or just after, came to the Lana area to teach the Shan tribe the gospel. So there he was in the marketplace, trying to get as much influence there as possible with his big white book. And along came the Lahu tribe, who lived quite close to us, actually. And, oh, right, yeah, the Karen. That's the Karen girls. I got to know them quite well. Sorry, I've forgotten where I was now. Yeah, 1900, William Marcus Young. Lahu men came down from the mountains to go to the village to sell their goods and buy what they need. And they heard him. And then they looked and saw this big white book, the Bible, of course. And their mouths dropped and they went and sat and listened. Streams of tears. Well, what would you have done if you were William Marcus Young there thinking, what's happening? And they came to him afterwards and they said, God has sent you. We are not letting you go. And they kidnapped him there and then. put him on their donkey, and they took him up the mountain to their villages, and he didn't leave. He had a wife and two young sons, and he didn't leave. He needed help. Two young sons knew the Bible stories, young missionaries, and they preached to these Lahu men, these two young sons, and they told them the story of Jesus and all the stories from the Bible, because they had no Bible. And William Marcus Young made sure that was the first thing to do: learn the language, translate the Bible, give them a Bible. In they'd had a written down language, the Karen, so he was able to use that language as well. And can we go on? Sorry, the next one. That's the Akar tribe as well, which was the next ones. May I just say one thing about William Young? We know Phil and Ruth Young. Phil is his grandson. He speaks Lahu perfectly. And he's been going to the Lahu tribe, which is nearby. And he doesn't want to leave either. Do you know, he's so intelligent. But world's riches, no use. His riches are people he's won for God. And he just gets on with life. He's a wonderful person, and so is Ruth. I got to know Ruth quite well. So another guy who went over is Paul Lewis, and he went to the Akar tribe. He went 60 years ago. They hadn't heard the gospel before then, and his first convert only just recently died. And there was a big funeral, you know, because he was the first convert. And it was lovely to see. The Akar tribe are the most populated around us. So you can imagine there's still many who haven't heard. They still need to hear. There's missionaries going out there trying to reach them all with the gospel. And those who have come through to the Lord, can you imagine what they know? Fair enough, they have a Bible now in our lettering, because they had no written down language. So Paul Lewis had to hear the language, write it down in English lettering, and give them that Bible, and they've still got it. That's their Bible. And so it looks interesting when you look at it, you know, because it's all different, of course, because they speak a different language, but it's our letters that form it, which is amazing. Paul Lewis is still alive. He's moved back to America now, because he's a bit old now, but his work continues, and many, many of the Akar tribe are coming through to know the Lord. So that's another wonderful thing in our area. The Chinese are coming over at the moment as well, and they are wanting to know English. They are becoming Christians over in our area. They're getting over there, learning English, and we're reaching the Chinese people. And they just soak up the gospel. And so they're Christian when they go back. And that's another, it's wonderful in our area. God has put eternity in their hearts. We just need to reach them for him. It's wonderful. So we just need, come over if you want to come over. We want more people. Thailand might only be open for so many more years. They want to close it, but they need English teachers. And until everybody can speak English, we will be wanted there, because they need us in the schools. They're willing to pay you something as well. If you have an education of some sort, or TESOL or something like that, you need something. But you don't need to be an English teacher. What they want is the pronunciation of English. So they need you to go into the school and speak English. They have the books that you have to work from anyway. And then you get paid for that. Brilliant, eh? Because you have your weekends free, your evenings free. It's not like school in this country. It's school hours. So in the other hours, you can get into church, helping the church, because their knowledge of the Bible isn't a lot. They have no extra help like we have all the help in English. Theirs is Thai, isn't it? So there's nothing much in Thai at all. So they do need help. Techie things. Church has nothing up like you have up here. Absolutely nothing. So, you know, anybody who has that sort of help would be greatly appreciated. But the main thing is they want English teachers, and that's a way that you can get in to the country. Job, all the other jobs are for Thais. You can't get in. Land is for Thais, so you can't buy land. You can get a voluntary job like we did and get a visa. But other than that, you can't get into the country. You have to have a working visa of some sort to stay. And that is a battle sometimes, but we've managed to stay. We went into the school, if you remember, first, and stayed by teaching. Now we have glowing life, looking after the boys, and we are allowed to stay there because we're doing that. So if anybody wants to come out and join us, you'd be very welcome. Come out for a week, a month, or if you really get hooked, come out for longer. We're getting a bit older now. So, you know, very soon we'll be wanting to pass on those reins to somebody else. We don't know whether it'll be somebody from this country, England, or somebody from Thailand. We've tried to get the Thais really interested, but again, they don't feel adequate enough to do it. So we still feel maybe we need one person from around here as well to help them continue it. Okay. I don't know whether you feel you could speak in their church. I think you could. If I can, I'm sure you could. You know, when Andy comes over here, he'll tell you a little bit about stuff, won't he? But he won't preach, will he? He's too... can't preach in this country. But he's good. He's a good Bible teacher. And there, he can teach from the Bible, and they're all looking, soaking it in. And it is much better than me at the actual Bible teaching. That's his gift. So anybody who thinks they know their Bible, even a little bit, you'll be able to come and teach from the Bible, because they don't know very much at the moment. And in 15 years' time, where we're all kicked out, that those churches have to stand on their own. And the more we can teach them in this time, the time is now to go into Thailand. It's 1% Christian. Not a lot. We need missionaries there to come and love on them and teach them and get to know the culture. Actually, getting to know the culture is important. I noticed one of the songs up there was The Shepherd. They have no sheep in their country. What's a shepherd? Yeah, so you have to have a way around it. Oh, and you know the verse in Matthew somewhere says about somebody asking for a fish. You wouldn't give him a snake. Why not? They're fish. Taste awful in the rivers. Their snakes are tasty. So they'd look at you going, out, why can't we have a snake? So learn your culture, okay, because it's interesting, really. Okay. So if you come to join us or even for a week, just to come and help and encourage, we love it if people come and visit, 2 weeks or so. You're actually holidaying with us. Even though you might be painting and decorating and building or whatever like that, you are holidaying with us because you're not actually allowed to do anything if you're on holiday except for holiday. You have to get a working visa to really work. So, you know, you have to get around that. Okay. Oh, we need to go on. That's one of the schools. To work in. That's a posh one. That belongs to the university. And it's a lovely school. I've been there. And the next one is the school our boys go to, which is in Bandu. Nice school. They still need an English teacher. There's not enough English teachers going out there to fill the places. They need more. And keep going. This is one of the churches. They are so creative over there. This is Noah's Ark Church, and it does look like a boat, doesn't it? Lovely. You like it, don't you? And then this next one is our own church, which actually, while I've been here, we've just left. They now have a newer building, just a little stone's throw away, that they've moved into, because that one was sort of falling down. So, you know, that's the sort of churches there. And do you know the churches? We went there in 2006, and the churches since the turn of the century have doubled in this area of Chiang Rai. I don't know about the other areas. Chiang Rai has doubled, and Christians have doubled in numbers. So that's really encouraging, isn't it? The gospel is going out there, and they're wanting to know the gospel. One other thing, if anybody gets an urge to, oh, that, by the way, that's me preaching. Anybody gets an urge to read this, it's very good. Chapter 2 is all about our area. So it's an interesting book to get hold of. It's been out quite a few years. Okay. I wanted to read a passage to finish with. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together, that's all tribes, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we'll have to get on. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we can't get boastful. There's no point. No need to get boastful, because he's doing it all anyway. I just put my hand in his, you know, and let him lead us on. And whatever we do that day, we do. But God's always with me, and he's always with you. And if you come out there, you will live a little bit like that. It's so much more organized here than it is out there. People arrive for a meeting, you know, an hour late. Tie time, as we say. Tie time. So, yeah, culture again, yeah? Anyway, is there any questions before I finish? Anybody like to know anything? No? 11 years now. We love it there. It's really, really... I mean, sometimes it's difficult, but we love it. We love the people. And we know God wants us to be there. The only thing I say is time is passing. And as we know, you know you'll have to give it over to somebody else eventually. So we're just trying to encourage people that mission is important, and missionaries are still needed in Thailand. Yeah, he's put on the pictures of the home. Glowing Life Home was the one before, and these are our boys that are there. You know, we have boys that have no home themselves, or their home can't look after them. Sexan is always with us. He has no home. But the rest of them can manage to go back to their villages. Actually, he's behind here. You can't see him. sex. But the rest go back for holidays sometimes. Whoever will look after them, it might be granddad who's aging, or pastor, or whoever. So they go back to their village if they can. They're lovely boys. They're boys, but we love more. Thank you. Yeah, it's hard. They do find that hard. It's just so different in the village because they're very poor villages. So when they come back, but I mean, Sexton did go to his village a few times when he was a bit younger, while he had a relative there. But when he came back, he always used to say, "Oh, I love my bed," because he had no bed back there. So they do, in that case, they do adjust. They do love it at the home. Sutilak, I think he's there. He's the tallest one at the top there near the tree, right up there. That's Sutilak, and he comes from a village that there's absolutely no Christians at all, no church, no Christians at all. And before I came away, he said to me, because he was going to go back, well, they're back now, and he said, "Can I take a Bible with me?" And said, "Yes, Sutilak, you can take." He said, "I didn't bring it back last time." "I know, Sutilak, that's fine. It gets taken from him." "We don't mind," we said, "if it gets taken from you. You take it back and read it as long as you've got it. They may read it, Sutilak." So, you know, he just takes it back. But, you know, the way they ask you, "Can I take a Bible back with me?" And you think, oh, bless them. You know, they need... That the others, they have relatives who might take them along to a church, because there is one in the village, except Sexan, his village doesn't have any either, but he doesn't go back now, so he's fine. He's following God as well. 5 have been baptized. The rest have decided for Jesus. Even I, a fairly new one here, who didn't know the Lord at all, JJ, he's following God. He loves to go to church now and sings, which is nice. You might recognize one or two of the other ones. I mean, Toffee, a lot of people know Toffee. He's the Karen boy. There's only one we've got. He's the Karen boy, and he's from a Christian family. Okay, then. Well, I'll leave it there then.